Tonight, James sits back and watches Mike not shut up. Mike tries to sell you a watch. And I forgot the third thing.
James from SurvivalPunk.com.
And this is Couch Potato Mike from CouchPotatoMike.com. Go there. Go there. I mean it now. Go there. Stop listening to the podcast. Go to CouchPotatoMike.com. I need traffic, damn it. Are we not recording anymore?
What happened?
Is that upset?
No, it's...
What? Why is it not moving?
I don't know.
It usually moves.
Whatever.
This is some great podcasting we're already doing here.
Yeah. I would say, I'll go edit that out. But we all know that I'm not going to go edit this out. So
yeah, you've been saying that forever. You don't edit, Jack.
Yeah.
Well, I know you do a little bit of editing.
I do. And then there's always that one episode that took me like 8 hours to edit because I put in Chef's voice as your voice. And I'm like, I had to script the whole thing and then splice it all in. And that was a pain in the boot.
I'm going to make love to your asshole.
Jeff Radke?
Oh, yeah. Fuck it. Oh, yeah, and I got a special message out there for Jeff Radke this week. You might know him from the Lost Skills podcast or the Survival Punk Punks group or Couch Potato Mike's No Ma'am. Jeff, I have a message for you from my wife. Please stop sending me fucked up porn on Messenger. She's going to kick your ass.
What did you get?
What did I get?
Yeah.
Oh, let me see. I got a chick turning her ass into a snowman.
Nice.
I've got three chicks trying out these hippity hops with fucking dildos built onto them.
I didn't get that one.
Oh, yeah. And I got that one the other day. And this morning, he sends me a fucking video of a guy and a woman. She's bent over. They're in the bathroom. And he's just fucking pounding her. And then all of a sudden, right before he finishes, he shoves her head into the toilet and flushes it and gives her a swirly while he's still fucking her.
Wow. Listener Scav recently sent me a slip and slide BJ, which was impressive.
I have not seen that one.
Yeah, a girl went flying down the slip and slide and then right onto the penis. Good job, girl. What? Jordan's doing something
funny. Jordan is stalking invisibility.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. He's walking around like he's crazy. Jordan is silly kitty.
Yeah. So, let's see. We got some preamble stuff here to talk about.
Preambly. Yeah. Oh, yes. For those of you out there familiar with us, if you have a question that you or something that you want to talk about, show ideas, please drop us a line. Well, not a line. Actually, drop us a message at 615-657-9104. That number again is 615-657-9104. Let me spell it out for you. S-I-X... Oh, it... No, fuck that. 615-657-9104. That is the Survival Punk message hotline. Just leave us a message there, and who knows, you might hear yourself on the podcast.
That is correct. If you call in with a bunch of questions, we either will make it a whole episode. We've done that, like, last week with the perennials. Or if we get a bunch of questions that are all good and we can answer them fairly shorter, that can be a Q&A episode. We do that once in a while. And if you want to be on, at this point, pretty much you're guaranteed to be on if you call. I've got a few in there that I'm going to play soon. But yeah, it's unless your question is retarded, and even then, usually it'll get on there, to be honest.
Yeah.
What else? What else do we have, Mike?
Well... For those of you out there listening, do you want to belong to something better than yourself? Do you want, when the shit hits the fan, for two crazy motherfuckers to pull up outside your house in a stolen Hummer and just pick your ass up and take you to safety? Well, then you should join the Survival Punk Army. The Survival Punk Army wants you. For just $5 a month, you'll be privy to all sorts of added benefits that we've told you about on this podcast a number of times, and you can go find on the website, because I don't remember them right now.
Yeah, I still need to put in the infrastructure to do like a monthly sort of chat for just the members. It'll be recorded and all the members can watch the previous ones, but no one outside of the membership can ever watch them. You show up there, we'll bullshit, we'll chat. You know, you can ask me and Mike questions if he shows up. Just be a fun time.
Uh-huh. Oh, hey, buddy.
Huh?
You want a free sticker?
I do want a free sticker.
You
want
to know how you can get yourself a free Survival Punk sticker?
How do I do that?
You go to iTunes and rate us. Yes, rate us on iTunes, the Survival Punk Podcast. Give us 5 stars or 2 thumbs up or whatever the hell they have. Is it stars?
It's stars, I think.
It's stars, yeah. Give us a top rating and write us a little review. Screenshot yourself doing all this stuff, send it to james@survivalpunk.com, and you get a free Survival Punk sticker.
Yeah, you don't even need a screenshot. I can go look. It'll send me an email.
Oh, it will? Okay, yeah. I just wanted proof.
I mean, if you send me an email with your with the name that you use, obviously, if you're like Matt French, OK201237 username, and you send me an email, Matt French, and you're like, hey, I just left you a rating review. Send me your name that you used and your address, and I'll send you a sticker. And that's it.
Yep.
Easy as pie monade.
Oh, God. I think I'm thinking about this, and I'm not swearing to it, but when income tax time rolls around, I might actually have some Couch Potato Mike stickers and patches and t-shirts made up.
Think you should do that. That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome snossin.
Awesome sauce.
And that I think is all the preamble we have. I don't even know how far we're in because it's not updating correctly.
Well, on that bombshell, it's time to end. So for Top Gear. Oh.
Yeah. What do we have on the show today?
Well, coming up on the show today is an idea that I came up with the other day, and we're going to be talking about it the entire fucking time.
That is true.
And I came up with it by looking at this wonderful device that I'm holding in my hand right now, for those of you that can't see it, and if you
can't... It's a dildo.
It's not a dildo. It is a Samsung Galaxy S5. And not specifically, this isn't about specifically Samsung Galaxy S5. This could be about iPhones or any smartphone. See, that's the thing. We live in a world, and everybody out there listening to this knows this to be a true fact. We live in a world where, well, people have cell phones, smartphones, pretty much glued to their hand or sticking 3/4 of the way out of their back pocket for some kind of a fashion thing. I don't know what the hell's going
on. I don't get that, yeah.
I think it's just because they don't make women's pockets very deep. But in any event, no, fucking cell phones. They're everywhere. Virtually everybody you know has one. Hell, you're probably listening to this on your damn phone right now.
And probably.
What happens when the shit hits the fan? What happens when the internet's down? What happens when you don't have that sort of convenience anymore and you have nowhere to charge your phone? Your phone's going to go dead eventually.
Yeah.
All the power grids have gone down. So you're now in a new world without your fucking smartphone. Maybe you should have prepared for that, and that's what this episode is about.
Yeah. Mike, so this is what happened to me the other night. I was driving to work.
Uh-huh.
The same way that I take every single night to work.
Well, yeah.
And there's from where I live, there's not a huge amount of ways to get from here to there. There's a main highway. I take the main highway straight into town.
There's
bam,
a couple
bam.
Little alternate routes you can take, but in essence, you're going to be following pretty much the same path.
Right. And there is a fatal crash blocking the road at a very important junction, and there was really...
It's the main highway to get from where we are to the city where you're working in.
Right. So, I think where it was at, the only choice I had was to take a left. And I was like, well, fuck, I don't, like, and from the time I leave my house to the time I get to work, that little trip right there, I don't have any cell phone service, so there's no way I could have GPSed the alternate route.
See, and you got stuck in that shit hours after it had already began. I almost got stuck in that shit immediately after it happened.
Right.
On the way home.
And you didn't
work.
Even tell me. You didn't know, like, oh, James, by the way, there's a wreck. You're
fuck it, nobody told me.
Yeah, whatever.
Dude, yeah. I didn't even tell my wife, and she got stuck in that shit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Of course, that wasn't being a dick. That was just me forgetting to fucking say anything.
Right.
No, and I see, in the way I got out of that, I got stuck in it right after it happened. And I realized that I just passed a cross street. So I fucking whip out my smartphone and I got on fucking Google Maps and found an alternate route all the way through there. Now, what if I didn't have my fucking smartphone? I wouldn't have known all this fucking extra back roads that I could have got on.
You mean like me?
Exactly.
Yeah, I had to just guess. I knew that if I took a left, if I eventually took the very first right that I came to that wasn't a dead end, it should run parallel. Uh-huh. And luckily I was right. I didn't even have to make a turn. The road curved back to right after where the road was closed, and then I just continued back on the highway like normal.
Yeah, and that is, I mean, that, and you did say luckily, good, and that, because that is sure luck, because I don't know if you've seen the fucking roads of Dixon County on a map.
They're squirrely.
There's no guarantee that that would have worked.
No, yeah, no, I know.
that road you got on could have literally doubled back on itself and started taking you in the opposite direction you needed to go and never came back.
I mean, like, trying to get in or out of Ashland City, there's so few roads that, like, you're fucked. Like, if you tried that in Ashland City, chances are you'd hit a dead end at the river repeatedly.
So I've come up with an idea. All you guys out there, I'm sure, like, the vast majority of our listeners have their bug-out bags. They might even have their get-home bags in their car, their 72-hour bags, their pocket tins and all that stuff. But you know what? I've come up with an idea for an extra bag. I call it the smartphone replacement bag.
Yeah.
If you can come up with a better idea, drop us a line, james@survivalpunk.com, or just drop it on Facebook, and we'll see what we can come up with a better name for that.
Or just at least things that need to be in your car or in your bug out bag. Like, you may not have thought of all these things because you just were like, I don't need this in my everyday carry or my bags because I have my cell phone. Well, what if the cell phone is out of the picture? What if it's broke or damaged or it's the apocalypse and you run out?
I mean, if you really sit down and take the time to think about how many things the modern day smartphones can do, it's mind-boggling.
It is. And we only touch it on a few, to be honest.
Yeah, and to truly replace all of that, I mean, you actually have to have quite a bit of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is why I say just put it all in one bag.
Yeah.
And label it smartphone.
Which is funny, because these things that you're going to have to use to replace a bit of the ability you gain from having a cell phone, a smartphone, are going to take up much more space.
Oh, yeah. But let's just start right at the top of your list. The first thing that I see most people use their smartphone, everybody who owns a smartphone uses their smartphone for this multiple times a day. And that is?
As a watch. It's the time-telling device.
Yeah, people this day and age hardly even wear watches anymore. Most of the people I know don't wear watches anymore because they don't have to, because all they got to do is whip out their phone and look and see what time it is.
Yeah. I recently went back to wearing a watch.
Not wearing one
because now. I'm not wearing one now. No, I haven't left the house. But yeah, when I leave, I try to put on my watch, and even that, you know, sometimes I forget. I never forget the cell phone. But yeah, get a watch, a good watch. It has survival uses. A lot of them, depending on like what model you get. With the hands, you can use to tell direction if you know that trick.
Yeah,
and if you don't have hands, if you just have like a G-Shock is a good watch to have, especially the models that have the, and this probably won't work if it's a total shit to the fan, but they sync with the atomic clock to make sure the time is always right, which is crucial.
And you know what? If I might make a suggestion on a type of watch that somebody gets, and I'm not going for specific brands here, I'm going for a type of watch. Here's some certain things. If you're going to be in a survival situation, the kind of watch that I would recommend that you get. First, avoid digital. That's just another electricity. Say fucking EMP happens, boom, you don't have a watch again, ever. And eventually on a digital watch, your battery is going to run out. Now, even some like non-digital watches will still have batteries in it. I would recommend staying away from those. I personally recommend either going with like a standard mechanical or what they call, my favorite, an automatic watch. Now, an automatic watch is a mechanical. It is a winding watch, but it is self-winding. You basically put it on your hand. Most of them will have like a display back, and inside the display back, you'll see something that can spin around with the movement of your hand. That little thing is winding the watch constantly. An automatic mechanical watch doesn't. It'll never run out of electricity. Doesn't have any electrical components usually. And you never have to even worry about winding it as long as you're moving. And if you're in a shit hit the fan situation, you're going to be doing shit. you're going to be moving around. I mean, you're going to be doing, unless you're just a total piece of shit that just is going to try to let everybody else fucking survive for you and make you survive on their behalf and all that shit. So, no, I would recommend definitely a mechanical automatic watch. And it might be a little bit extra, but some of them have what they call a meteorite lens, the crystal on the watch. They can make those out of meteorites, which are a hell of a lot stronger and more scratch resistant and more fracture resistant.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you can actually find some of those at pretty good deals, too. And I would also, I mean, if you have the benefit, I wouldn't recommend getting a metal band for the watch. And I know that sounds weird, but metal bands, I mean, unless it's a really good metal band, then go for it. But once the clasps and stuff break on those, which can happen, I mean, it becomes ugh. And the fucking elastic metal bands, they usually pinch and pull hair and stuff, but they're usually flimsier. I would recommend getting a leather band, but I would recommend Stingray leather.
Because it's cool?
Because they have to cut it with diamonds.
Oh.
Yeah, they literally do diamond cutting or laser cutting to fucking make stingray leather. Stingray leather is just insanely fucking resilient. Yeah, my dad knew a bunch about watches. I personally own a shit ton of watches that my dad gave me when he left the country.
Yeah,
so he tried to teach me everything that he knew about watches. So I didn't pick up everything, but I do know a lot about watches.
Way more than me.
Yeah.
I just have a cheap plastic watch from China, and it tells the time, and that's good enough for me.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to go for all this, you know, fancy stuff like I just said, but have a fucking wristwatch.
Yeah, it helps to know the time.
Oh, God, yeah.
Next up is sort of a twofer here.
Mm-hmm.
A
couple of things that your phone, you take advantage of.
The date and notes. So
yeah.
Having something like a planner, something that has the dates in it,
mm-hmm.
Or if you don't give a shit about that, if you have a watch, just a way to take notes.
Yeah.
I like, well, you can get fancy and have like a nice moleskin or a leather journal.
Mm-hmm.
I like the military write in rain ones, which will not get destroyed in water. Those are nice. But just some way, you know, even if it's like 50 cents little, like, pocket-sized composition notebook. I'm not a real big fan of spiral-bound metal notebooks, especially for, you know, carrying. Like, if they're... Well, okay. I'm a lefty. Lefties, our hand drags across the metal spine when we write or draw or use a
notebook. You know, I never even thought about that. I never even thought about a left-handed person having to fucking go over the damn, spiral binding.
Yeah. My girlfriend Serena just got me this Army of Darkness special spiral bound notebook.
That is
cool.
And
I will use it.
Way to go, Serena. Yeah, but and I can.
As you see, yeah, your hand rubs on the spot. Yeah, it's, you know, because.
You pretty much got to write like a Chinaman in order to do it comfortably.
Yeah, backwards, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. They don't make a left handed notebook.
You know what? I bet somewhere on the internet, on the Leftorium, there is one. The Leftorium. I would so shop the Leftorium.
Dude, a left hand. Okay, this on a left hand. Okay, the left handed version of this would basically be this cover. Would basically be reversing that.
Yeah.
Because honestly, in order to make that left handed, you have to just write in reverse. It would be the same damn thing. And there'd be somebody willing to buy it. I know there would be.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? And I've even tried like left handed scissors, and I don't care for them, to be honest.
But you know, I've seen at like Dollar Tree and other like, you know, $1 stores like that that they have all over the country. I mean, a lot of them will have like, you know, just little notepads that can fit in your pocket.
Yeah.
Or some of them have, well, even like the Dollar Tree and Dixon, I saw them that they were selling like 1 year calendar day planners.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, will always have the note section in it and,
exactly.
You know, it helps you. I mean, in the busy world, you know, people use them to schedule, like, I'm going to, you know, drop the kids off here on such and such date at such and such time. But, you know, notes are always good to fucking take down. And, I mean, I use the Memo app on my phone constantly.
I do, too. I use internet-connected ones. All my notes are cloud-based and have been for several years now, so.
Mm-hmm.
That's, it, you know, it won't exist if the grid goes down or. If I lose access to my phone, I can't sync my notes and get my information.
And I would also recommend, along with your little notepad there for your smartphone bag, I would recommend getting a bunch of Now, either cheap pencils, or I would prefer cheap ink pens. The reason I would prefer cheap ink pens, when, okay, you know, a pencil, you have to sharpen it, you know, and you, if you have a knife, you can do that. If you know what the hell you're doing, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But when you, your pencil runs out, you're done. That's it. I mean, what little thing you have left, I guess you can throw it into the fire.
Yeah.
Get like an extra 30 seconds of heat out of it. Or I prefer the ink pens, the cheap ink pens, because once an ink pen runs out of ink, guess what? You can now take that ink pen apart, and you have other little things that you could possibly use for survival methods. I mean, every ink pen can be turned into a short straw, for one thing.
Yeah.
You've got an empty, hollow plastic tube right there. You've also got the little spring in there, you know, if you have a click-type pen,
mm-hmm.
or whatever, that can be used for, you know, certain things. I mean, yeah, there's just other uses for all that shit. Plus, if you've ever seen the Boondock Saints movie, you can also use ink pens and sewing needles to give yourself prison tattoos.
Prison tattoos. Yeah.
I mean, they did the whole big Jesus on their backs like that.
Yeah.
Allegedly, you know, with movie magic, but whatever.
I do. I usually, in my bug-out bags, carry a variety of writing utensils, mm-hmm. because you... It's having more than one is always smart.
Oh, yeah.
None, two is one.
And we are talking about backing up something. So
right.
I believe in having backups for my backups.
My personal preference is the Trinity. I like a pencil, a pen, and a marker, a Sharpie. I like all three of those because they give you a wide variety of abilities to mark on things.
And if you can get your hands on them, get some paint markers, too.
They will do on everything, pretty much.
I mean, because, yeah, on a paint marker, I mean, you can just fucking put an X on trees with those motherfuckers.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely have an ability to write. Mm-hmm. And... probably not funky colors with the pit. Like, don't get red or blue. Get black ink.
You know, I would actually recommend something brighter that would contrast against shit.
I mean,
for a paint marker. Now for ink, you're right.
Pen.
Yeah, black ink.
Yeah, if you write with an ink pen as an adult, it's black or it's nothing.
It's black or blue. I prefer black ink, but. Interestingly enough, they've done psychological studies that show, and this even showed up on my fucking calendar, and I looked it up because I have this life hacks calendar. Mm-hmm. People that follow me on Facebook, you see where I occasionally post these life hacks. That's all comes from my desk calendar. Well, one of them was on there. They've done studies. People remember stuff they write in blue more readily than they do using black ink. It sticks out in your mind for some reason. Black will make your it blends in with your mind, but blue, for some reason, that blue ink just makes you remember it better. And they've actually fucking done studies on that, and it's true. Interestingly enough, especially if you wind up using both, because in my work, I color code all the stuff that I have to write down.
Yeah.
Like, certain parts of my daily job I have to write down in black, but when I really want something to stand out, I switch over to my blue pen.
Interesting.
And I have a bunch of highlighters, too. Highlighters are always fun.
Next up is maps.
Oh, yeah. Google, this is where it started. This is where this whole idea came from, was maps.
Yeah. Have some maps of your local area. Even if you... there are various things online to, like, just print off Google Maps, print off MapQuest maps of your local area to mm-hmm. get to destinations. Having a road atlas... especially of your area, if not for, you know, you can get them for the whole United States for $17 or something.
Oh, yeah.
And whenever I travel, I always stop at the... almost always. I forgot to get some in Myrtle Beach. But almost always, I'll stop at the rest stops and grab the state maps, so I always have those.
And you know what? I would recommend, because this will put it all into perspective. This will all put it all in one place. I would recommend the Rand McNally Atlases designed... for professional truck drivers. They have the road carriers, Rand McNally, they're the best atlas makers out there, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Best physical atlas makers. And the atlases, the road atlases that they designed for truck drivers, mm-hmm. it also highlights all the mechanics, it highlights all of the fucking rest stops, it highlights all that shit, which in all, that's
every
all.
Every Waffle House in the country.
Pretty much.
Yeah. It's a trucker's dream if I ever did see one.
Now, another thing, other than the Rand McNally, another great type of map you can get are the maps that they design for firefighters and EMTs and shit like that, because they'll be a hell of a lot more detailed.
It's in the Survival Punks group. If you, listener, are a member of the Survival Punks group, and Mike, and you live in Tennessee, you can get Tennessee maps for free. You can get five per person. So I ordered mine yesterday. Your state may offer something similar. And I'm also a fan of ordering topographical maps, at least for your areas and the areas you plan to bug out to. If you're going to be on foot, this is a huge, like, you know, it's like, if you don't know there's a huge, you know, cliff or mountain, you know, like here in Tennessee, we're the land of the hills.
Oh, God.
If you can take a path that avoids a giant hill, that would be the better path to take.
Yeah. Welcome to the three, you know, they used to call Tennessee the three states of Tennessee because the Middle Tennessee, Eastern Tennessee, and Western Tennessee are all so geographically different from each other.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like Middle Tennessee, you got the rolling hills. Out in Western Tennessee, it's a lot of flatlands and a lot of muddy waters and shit like that. Mm-hmm. But over in Eastern Tennessee, it's all mountains and gorges and shit.
Weird.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I found out recently that Wisconsin, we have some friends up in Wisconsin.
I don't know if I'd call them friends exactly. One keeps sending me porn on Messenger.
I'm a fan of porn myself.
You want to watch a woman shove a carrot up her butt?
Well, yes, I do.
Okay.
I found out why most of Wisconsin is so fucking flat.
Why is most of Wisconsin so fucking flat?
Glaciers crushed the land flat and grinded it.
That is amazing.
Glaciers rolling across the land leave flat land masses.
It's sanded the land down.
Yeah. And
that's
funny. You can see, like, there's parts of Wisconsin that, like, it's all, you know, super, super flat, and then, like, over here is hilly. The glaciers weren't there.
It is amazing the shit that water can really do.
Yeah.
In all of its forms, it's amazing how powerful water is.
Because most of North America was covered under the Wisconsin ice sheet. Here in Tennessee, not so much under an ice sheet. So most of Tennessee, rolling hills. I'm not real sure why Texas is so flat, but it freaks me the fuck out. I don't like flat. Like, flat creeps me out because I'm, you know, from Tennessee, I'm a hill guy.
You know what's funny? Because I have driven across a big chunk of Texas now a couple of times.
Yeah.
A lot of Texas is very, very flat. But then when I got to, Fort Hood. I think it's Fort Hood. Yeah, Fort Hood. Now, where I was staying with Todd. He's on the Survival Punk Punks. He's a punk out there. I don't think he's a member, and I don't think he listens to the podcast, no matter how many times I've begged him to.
Yeah.
Ironically, though, he used to listen to Ramblings. Now, interestingly enough, though, Fort Hood is not flat at all. Everything going up to Fort Hood, flat. Then when you get on Fort Hood, it's all like dips and valleys and hills and stuff. No, that's the joke in the Army. Is like, the Army went to Texas, they found the only place that wasn't flat and decided, we're going to put the base there.
Yeah. That's the Army.
Oh, biggest Army base, biggest domestic Army base there is.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to know that it's here in the South.
Oh, yeah. Where were we?
Compasses. So, compasses. To use your map, you should probably have a backed up off, like, obviously, everyone in survival, you should have a compass to know where the hell you're at and where you're going. Because you'll never... The chance of getting where you're going without knowing where you're at is pretty slim. Surely Christopher Columbus didn't leave port and think, I hope I get there. I don't really have any way to navigate, but we'll give it a shot.
They navigated by the stars back then.
Yeah, and they had methods to get sextants and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Oh, God, those sextants? That's not something dirty. I actually know what a sextant is. Some of those can be very, very pricey.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, but, I mean, they're just brilliant. I love stuff like that. I mean, that's the way people used to fucking get around. It was amazing.
Yeah, so get a compass. Get a good one. This is one of those things that you don't want to go super cheap on.
Yeah, you don't want to get your compass from the Dollar Tree. I'm sorry.
The 50 cents, is it Coughlin? The cheap survival gear, Coughlin or whatever. It's just spent, you know, you can get a good used Army Surplus one for under 50. You can get like a $20 one from Walmart that'll be decent enough. One with a mirror, you get the double thing of having a signaling device. Signaling. Yeah, so you can signal for help. I kind of like the ones that have the embedded tritium, I think, which is glow in the dark via radiation. It's a radioactive isotope that glows. It's cool for gun sights and cool for compasses because it doesn't wear out. I mean, not in our lifetime. Like, you know, it'll be around as long as we're alive anyway.
Oh, God, yeah.
So, yeah, get a compass. Get a good one. Don't cheap out. Don't get one of those globy ball ones in the bottom of a fucking Rambo knife either. Get a good one.
Mm. And plus, I would also recommend... I can't think of the name of the classes. You know, and I think part of any good prepper's...
A navigation class?
Exactly. I think part of any good prepper's itinerary is prepping their own mind and body. You've sung the praises of that this whole time.
Right.
So, I mean, having a map and having a compass, those are really great things. If you don't know how to properly use them, though, you can still wind up getting lost. So I would recommend orienteering.
Yeah.
I would recommend doing some of those. A lot of times, local like community colleges, you can just audit classes like that.
Yeah. Meetup is another good place that offers classes like that. And then, you know, I should probably do a show on this one. Like, you can organize a class to take something like that. Like, you find someone that's a master orienteer or, you know, a good ex-military guy that knows they teach that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, give them a few bucks to go teach an orienteering class. Spend a day, go out into the woods on a hiking trip. You know, everyone get compasses and maps of the thing and, you know,
throw the guy
some money.
Yep, find your way back to point A.
Yeah, so... It's good for everybody.
Hell yeah.
The
next two kind of go together.
We're decent-ish on time, I think.
Fast forward to
31 minutes. We're good.
Why is it doing that?
I don't know.
People are going to be like, what is it doing? Okay, just to explain out there, the fucking,
Audacity, the software we use.
It normally, it tracks, you can see, you know, all of everything we say in the form of little jagged lines and all that stuff. And it normally follows along with that right in the middle of the fucking thing. For some reason, it's just sitting still and we have to keep going to the end just to make sure we're fucking recording. That's what's going on.
Who knows? Should have rebooted before we recorded, but...
It's too late now.
It looks like it's at least recording a little bit.
It is still recording.
Levels are a little low, but, you know, I can always boost them in after anyway.
Yeah, you're good.
Whatever.
It's a free podcast. The next two kind of go together.
Phone numbers and own a phone book. So this is separate, as in, like, no one remembers phone numbers anymore.
No.
Back in, like, the 80s, you had to remember phone numbers for all sorts of shit.
Oh, God, dude. Back in the fucking day, I knew the numbers of, like, all of my friends, most of my family member. I used to be able to quote you the numbers of, like, every fucking place that delivered pizza in West Nashville.
Yeah.
I remembered all that shit, and everybody did. Either that, or they had a little fucking notepad right by the phone where they wrote all those fucking numbers down.
Right, and, you know, black books and all that stuff. Like, you used to write down phone numbers, you used to remember phone numbers.
Oh, yeah.
No one does anymore. Like,
the day of the gigolo's little black book is over now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... No one remembers numbers anymore. You know what? I can remember my own phone number that I've had for, I don't know, 10-plus years.
I can still...
And I can just barely remember the Survival Punk call-in number. I was thinking, what is the number?
I wouldn't know
657-9104.
Yeah, I wouldn't remember it if it fucking wasn't on the board. Like, yeah. I remember my number.
Did you write blue ink?
No. I remember my number and my wife's number and your number and my work number and the number to my bank, and literally, I think that's it.
I may actually know your phone number. Actually, I think I do. Pretty sure I do. But that's, you know, like, basically you don't remember any numbers. So, and this is something that should be in your bug out paperwork, your information packet that you keep in your bug out bag. There's certain information you should keep, important phone numbers for friends, family, emergency numbers that are not 911 are useful. Yeah, we know without a cell phone, these might be hard to find, but maybe it's just your cell phone that's broken. But still having these numbers is important.
Oh, yeah.
You know, other things like hotels that you plan on bugging out to, like say that you have to evacuate. Oh, my God. Say you're in Texas right now and you have to evacuate. Having the number of a hotel out of the affected area that you have relations with, that you could be like, hey, do you have room? Can I reserve a room right now and get out before the massive evacuation that's going on? That is a prep, my friends.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and like say that you have like tree cutting services, tree goes down your place and, or tree falls down on your house while you're asleep in bed, it breaks your arm, thus you can't go out there with your chainsaw and cut the tree. You need to call tree cutting service. Having numbers like this, when let's say that it also smashed your cell phone there, you can't call them.
Well, I would say phone numbers like that is really where the phone book comes in.
The phone book does help for that. I would put the most important numbers in your bug out documents, and then also have, you know, yellow pages, white pages. Do they still do white pages?
No, they still do. They still print both of them.
Having both of those, at least at home, if not like in your car or something, worst case scenario, they're logs you can burn.
That is the problem, though, with white pages, though. I mean, white pages, cell phone numbers usually don't go in them.
Cell phone numbers do not go in there, which is
it's usually kind of an
unfortunate thing. You can't look someone up in a town anymore.
I mean, because of that, and that's the thing, cell phone numbers can just change so fucking rapidly. I mean,
true. You have people that have had like 20, you know, like you've had your number, which is previously your wife's number, right?
Yeah.
For 12 years or something?
Yeah, ever since we started doing Straight Talk with that same phone number. I mean, it was hers for the first bit, and then she got a new phone, and I got her old phone. Instead of swapping the numbers over, she just got a new number.
Yeah.
Some people still call me looking for her.
I still have my Boost Mobile phone. Number, my Boost Mobile phone number.
Where you at, dog?
I ported it to T-Mobile, and I think I've kept it since then, just because the number was so cool and easy to remember.
I love that episode of Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Where you at, dog? Yeah.
Sounds like you got the whole city behind you. They had to drive to hell just to lose reception.
Yeah. what a fucking commercial episode.
Oh, and then at the end is like the Boost guy's gone, but then like they fucking were hanging out with a can of Axe body spray during the closing credit sequence.
Oh my God. get some phone numbers, important phone numbers. Keep all those in your kit there.
Mm-hmm.
Calculator. I don't think we need to go long on this one, guys. Most everyone forgot pretty much 95% of the math they learned in school as soon as they got out of school, because you don't ever use that shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now everyone just whips out their calculator when they need to add something. So you could use your memo book we talked about earlier, but, you know, calculator is quick and easy, blah, 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 knock it out. And no need to get, like, a TI-83 graphing calculator. Just get a cheapie.
Get
two or three cheapies, for that matter.
That's the thing. Honestly, unless you're, like, some kind of a fucking architect, engineer, fucking physicist, or anything like that, most of the fucking math you're gonna do, you can do on basically the cheap calculator that you just picked up at the Dollar Tree.
Right.
You would honestly think the Dollar Tree was sponsoring this episode as much as I keep bringing them up.
Brought to you by the Dollar Tree.
Oh, I fucking wish. That would be awesome. Yeah. I should reach out to fucking Dollar Tree Corp and like, hey, I bring you up on a lot of our podcasts. Would you like to sponsor us?
Yeah. Eventually, at some point, I may actually hit up some people for sponsorships again. I just, not right now, though.
Yeah, but there's no point in us spending any more time on calculators. That's basic. And plus, most calculators can easily fit in your pocket.
Physical documents.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have moved to scan digital copies of things. I quit even bothering to get insurance cards. Tennessee accepts digital insurance cards, so I have the Progressive app on my phone. I download the newest card. I just whip out my phone. So that is an issue.
That is one place where I have not fallen into the digital trap. I prefer to have physical copies of everything.
I do, but I always have my phone with me, so I always have all of that stuff with me.
Yeah, but I always have my wallet with me, too, so...
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and if you looked at my wallet, it's got a hell of a lot more cards in it than it does cash.
It is ridiculous.
I've got like two and three cards per card slot.
Yeah, it's too many cards. I have mostly survival shit in my wallet.
Like I know, but it makes my wallet look so fat.
Yeah.
It makes it look like I'm balling.
And it's not. You just have fucking, what is it? Loyalty cards. It's all loyalty cards.
Oh, God. Well, it's not just all loyalty cards. I mean, I got my AAA card in there and my zoo membership card and, you know, physical insurance cards. But yeah, it's a hell of a lot. Like, this whole fucking section back here is just fucking loyalty cards and shit.
Yeah, so physical documents, all that stuff needs to be in your bug out documents. I will link to the episode we did on bug out documents.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have more idea what needs to go in those bug out documents. Scan copies or actual, I would scan copies of the documents you need. All that in there.
Now, the next thing is something that I'm sure all of us preppers out there already have in our bags.
But probably not all the time on our person like we have our cell phone.
Flashlights.
Yes. And you need to own an Olight flashlight because those guys are awesome. And they've sent me about $250,000 of flashlights, to be honest.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. They just keep sending me flashlights. And I was like, thank you, guys. These are awesome. Mm-hmm. And I've got some reviews coming up for their flashlights. And I just did that whole podcast on flashlights. So have a decent flashlight or headlamp on your person, in your bag. Have them everywhere.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you can get the cheap ones and stash them everywhere, but have a quality one.
Yeah. I hate to invoke the name of the almighty Dollar Tree yet again, but damn, they sell tiny little LED flashlights for $1 a piece.
Yeah. Get those, stash them. But like I said, also get a quality one.
Mm-hmm.
With more lumens. Like Mike has seen some of the mega high lumen flashlights that I have.
Dude, you carry collapsed suns inside these tiny little cylinders.
Pretty much.
I mean, blindingly bright some of these motherfuckers are.
Yeah. So definitely get a good quality one. And, you know, because, yeah, you always have your phone and they all have the flashlight apps and they're useful, but a good quality flashlight cannot be replaced. And if you need one and your phone dies or it's broken or whatever, having a real flashlight, bam, there you go.
Next, we have
the purpose of the cell phone.
Yeah, the thing that I swear to God, most people don't even use their cell phones for this anymore. Communications.
You know what? When I was doing research,
except for texting and like Facebook Messenger.
When I was doing research for this podcast, I honestly did, like, some of these I added on the, like, some of these I added just off the top of my head. Then I did some research as well, and I came across communications, and I'm like, totally didn't even think about that.
Yeah, most people don't anymore.
So, yeah.
I mean, honestly, I use my cell phone every day for phone calls, but that's only back and forth between me and you, basically, when you call me when you get off work when I'm on my way to work so we can chat for a few minutes.
Yeah, like 10 minutes in the morning. But other than that, I don't make phone calls. I usually decline when people... If my phone's ringing, I'm like, decline. I'll listen to the... I'll Tyler Durden you and listen to the voicemail. If it's important, I'll call back.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
backing up, the communication part of a cell phone can be a little bit tricky.
It can be. I mean, there are this could and probably should be an entire episode based on just communication. It's not going to be the scope of that. So, having a radio with several forms of, so like shortwave, AM, FM, mm-hmm. having a radio that does all that, preferably one that has the ability to, like, I like the solar and wind-up built-in ones that also take batteries, like, because it's just redundant. I like redundancy.
Yeah.
And the weather band.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all of those, like, emergency, like, Red Cross prepper Eaton radios, they all have pretty much all of those. So you can at least, so a lot of us get our news and information from our cell phones now via Facebook or other means.
Yep.
That information, the radio waves are pretty redundant. The radio waves where you're at may go down, like if there's an earthquake and it takes out your local news station, chances are one around you within transmitting distance is still going to work. So you can get a lot of news information from the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, ham radio. And to be honest, I need to get a ham person on the podcast to talk to them about ham radio.
Oh, that would be awesome.
You don't have to have a license to own and listen to ham radio waves. You do have to have one to transmit. So if you go grab a cheap, Baofeng is sort of the cheap one that, you know, is easily accessible and is very popular.
Baofeng?
Yeah, it's a weird, I think it's like a German name, but it's like Chinese made or something.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm going to start calling Jorn. Jorn is Baofeng.
No.
Yes.
Jorn Baofeng McBurnett.
McBurnett?
MacBurnett, yeah. Actually, Burnett is a clan, and we have our own tartan.
I love tartan sauce on my fish sticks.
Tartan sauce, yeah. Dan Green's rolling over in his bed.
You turned him into fucking Mr. Krabs off of fucking SpongeBob.
Yeah.
Arrgh. Money. Hey.
I love Dan Green.
Was my Dan Green impression. From now on, that's my Dan Green impression. It's just Mr. Krabs from fucking SpongeBob.
There you go. You can get one now. I have tried to read and study up on the ham radio license exam to take it. It's boring as fuck. I'm not interested in it. I've thought about what a lot of people have told me to do is to go. There's sites out there you can take that have the questions. You keep taking the exam until you pass, you know, the fake exam test, basically just to memorize the questions. You're not learning the information. You're just learning the test. So you can go take it, get your license, and then you're done. And then you have it, and you can chat and talk. And that is a way to get a lot of good information.
Mm-hmm.
In disasters, ham radio operators are usually conveying a lot of information. You can find out stuff.
You know what? And I would also recommend for, and this isn't for all of that stuff, but I would recommend for a person and their core group of friends, people that are going to, like, long-distance walkie-talkies or talkabouts.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm a fan of the MERS technology for walkie-talkies, which is MERS GMS. A lot of the walkie-talkies are that way. It works. Okay, so some of them, like, you'll go to Walmart and you'll look at it and be like, 50-mile radius. You'll never get 50 miles. Don't even listen to that bullshit. If you're on a mountaintop, like 50 miles, direct line of sight from your buddy who has the same walkie-talkie, yeah, you can probably talk. Otherwise,
and
yeah,
probably,
it's not going to ever
and
happen.
And honestly, probably just barely at that point.
Yeah, and you know, it's
keep
like
in mind
the
that,
weather is perfect and everything.
Yeah, keep in mind that 50-mile radius doesn't mean you're going to get crystal clear communications up into a perfect circle ending right at the 50-mile mark. It's going to be gradually dropping off as you hit there. 50 miles is the last point where you can kind of hear somebody.
As Paul Wheaton would say, that's just marketing.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's, you know, so, but like, for here, for the land, if Mike and I got walkie-talkies easily, it would work.
Oh, God, yeah.
Anywhere
on this property, we could be at opposite ends and still hear each other.
Yeah. So get some of that. It works really good for, like, sort of close area like that.
Don't be fooled by Back to the Future 2, though. Those cheap plastic POS fucking walkie-talkies that Doc and Marty, they would not have been able to do what they did in that movie. I mean, they were cheap plastic, like, Dollar General store fucking walkie-talkies.
Yeah.
But they were talking to each other from miles away. No. You're lucky if you can get to the next room with those damn things.
Yeah. Don't do that. And, you know, I keep meaning to go to some thrift stores or whatever to find super duper old, like handheld receiver, like telephones,
mm-hmm.
To basically make off grid communications with me and Mike. Like you just have to have like a 9-volt battery to power the phone line. Like you hook it up to the part of the phone line that has that, and you just like talk to each other on the phone. Like it's basically an intercom system. You know, and there's a way to make it ring, but yeah, it. You can do something like that for, like, if you have a lookout observation post. Like, say you have land, you have the highest spot, you build an observation post, you run just phone line down it, and then you call the headquarters.
I saw what, like,
that can't be intercepted, by the way.
I know, but I want a couple of those old, heavy desk model phones. The red phones. I want those.
Yeah.
The kind that it felt so good to slam the damn thing. Remember back when you could slam a phone?
And you can't. I mean,
when you could hang up with fucking force, where you actually know the other person on the ear had to, on the other end of the conversation, had to pull their head away because that slam was so loud through the receiver.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. That just doesn't happen anymore. So. I mean, that most you can get is an angry screen press now.
Right. 48 minutes. Good time.
Yeah, we're going, yeah, so going along right there.
Communication, I mean, honestly, we're having to sort of gloss and speed over the things. Communications is a huge topic. It needs to be a full show. Probably need a subject matter expert on it.
But for the basics of this, I mean,
have a method.
Yeah, just have a method. Now, moving right along to backup camera.
Yeah, so say you're in a car crash. Cock crash.
Say you have a cock, British. Say you have a rash on your cock.
Yeah. and your phone is damaged in it, and you take pictures after the wreck for the insurance company. People don't have cameras anymore because no. Sell your camera.
They still sell disposable cameras, don't they?
One, yeah, you can still get a disposable camera. And you can get digital cameras are fairly affordable. You can get just a decent quality digital camera to take pictures.
Mm-hmm.
But having something like Polaroid doesn't really exist anymore. You can get knockoff Polaroid, and you can get the old Polaroid cameras with new third-party manufactured Polaroid film, but Polaroid itself is just not, unless they've came back, they're just not producing Polaroids anymore, so
yeah,
that, you know, like, years ago, I'd suggest, yeah, you just carry a Polaroid camera with you, because you, bam, you instant photo.
That was so awesome to have that, too, you know?
It was.
Plus the Polaroids that have that little strip down at the bottom, give you enough room to write on.
Yeah. Back in the day, you know, not everyone even had one, but it was always like the friend that got a Polaroid, like, oh, we gotta take a picture.
Fuck yes.
Which, you know, now it's just like
there's the whole thing. Selfies. It comes out and it's all gray, and you're shaking it, and you just have to let it sit there.
It's a cool technology, and it's the cell phone killed that. But cell phone killed.
They do. Don't they have like stuff. Don't they have like a printer so you can hook straight on to like? Oh, just attach it to your cell phone
you
now.
That you can. I blew Serenity's mind with that. I was like, why don't you just get like a? Well, they make not just photo printers, but like actual printers that you can just Bluetooth your stuff to.
That'd be awesome.
And she's like, that doesn't exist. I'm like, no, that does exist. That doesn't exist. That does exist.
Get out of here. That doesn't exist.
Pretty much.
She just turned red as hell. Yeah. We love you, Serenity.
Yeah. Have a method to take photos backed up. You know, digital camera, knockoff Polaroid, whatever you want to get. Own real books. I love Kindle.
Oh, yeah.
I have a Kindle device. It's never powered on or anything, but mostly I just use the Android app, the Kindle app for my Android, and just get Kindle books, because then it's always there. You don't have, like, survival book and self-sustainable and prepping books and stuff, mm-hmm. But grid down, broke phone, whatever, I lose access to all of those, so.
I mean, and we're not just talking about just novels here, like, fucking instructional guides and shit that you're going to need in situations like that.
Yeah, it's, I mean, even if you get the PDF things, go get a cheap printer and print them off. Go to the library and print them off.
Yeah, definitely. You can. We live in a day and age where basically every printer can be its own printing press.
True. So, yeah, some of that more important information, it'd be good to back up. Like, the having wrote down, backed up some, like, you can write down some of these more important notes yourself. The information for, like, bleach to disinfect water that's safe to drink, like the 1 tablespoon per gallon, that's wrong, that's not it. Whatever that actual equation is, that would be something good to have backed up and wrote down so that you know in a disaster, oh, this much bleach will disinfect this much water to make it safe for human consumption. Good thing to have wrote down.
You know, at one point I actually had printed off, like five whole novels. That was like the first 5 books in the Amber series. I had printed them off.
Yeah.
Because I found fucking like this website where I've actually go looking for websites where I can find free books where you can read the whole damn thing online. Because I do that at work sometimes. Like between phone calls, I'll read a line.
Right.
Yeah. It makes a book last. And actually, my boss doesn't say anything about it because it makes me more productive. Because I give myself the rule, I only get to read while the phone is ringing.
Right.
So that means that's that many more phone calls I'm going to be making during a part in the book that I really want to get through.
True.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's wasted time. Like, if you're doing something while doing something else, I call that free time, to be honest.
Yep.
I mean,
I've read many novels while waiting. I'll dial the number, because most of my job is dialing the phone.
Yeah.
I'll dial the number, I'm waiting for the person to answer. While the phone is ringing, I'm reading. I've got my little window pulled up, my little notepad window up, where I've copied and pasted a whole fucking book onto it, and I'm just reading and deleting as I go.
Yeah, I
do that. I'll highlight and delete what I've read. That way I don't lose my spot.
Nice. For originally, when I was on my very first Android phone, I found a...
The one with the little rollerball thing?
Yeah.
I love that.
The G1, yeah. There was an app on the phone, and I think it still exists, but it's not supported or updated or anything anymore, and this is completely off topic because this is using your cell phone. But there's an app called Text on Phone, which just had, like, just horribly formatted, just plain text versions of novels. And I read a lot of novels on there, including the Gore series, which was really good until they didn't have any more of the novels, and so I was kind of stuck. But
no, I refuse to read anything written by Al Gore.
Not that. No. Gore is an interesting...
Okay, gotcha.
Some of you may have seen the old sci-fi shows where it was like this English teacher that was sucked to this parallel universe or alternate world or something, this planet called Gore, where like there was like these giant flying griffin creatures, and
I have not seen that. I actually never even heard
that. The guy had a
that.
Cool watch. It's a horrible movie, but a great book series.
That happens a lot.
Yeah, it does. I think there's two of them made, actually. Two movies made from the book series somehow. I don't know. Lastly is entertainment.
Yep.
Phones are sort of the go-to center of entertainment now.
Pretty much. I mean, think about it. I mean, almost everybody out there that has a smartphone has at least one game on it.
Yeah, games, movies, all sorts of ways to entertain yourself. Having a way to entertain yourself when you're bored and the phone is broke or whatever.
Like, vis-a-vis, like, a Game Boy or other little travel handheld games, or for fucking movies and shit like that, a portable DVD player.
Yeah. Various different kinds of card games, which are completely off-grid. And just a deck of cards is the simplest.
I'm wondering something, and I don't know if you'd know about this or not, but they still make portable DVD players. There's still a market for that.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if they make any that would have like a USB slot in it where you could plug a thumb drive in. Because if they haven't, they need to.
Probably. I know there's probably something out there that you can play like that. Just like basically a screen that will play, you know, thumb drive media.
Uh-huh. Because we're living in a day and age where apps like Showbox and Terrarium TV are there, and, you know, for those of you who are not like me, who actually know how to fucking do this shit, you can pretty much get damn near anything digitally downloaded and stuck on a thumb drive.
Right. That would be a thing to do. Small board games, other board games, chess, like, have something to keep yourself, family, friends entertained. We've talked about this in episodes where, like, the power is out or whatever. Having board games, staying entertained.
Oh, yeah.
Especially for young children. And at time of stress, it's like, forget being stressed out because the power's out. We're just going to play Monopoly for 7 days.
And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Damn, boredom can be your worst enemy in a situation like that. You have to have something to do with your downtime.
Yeah. I mean, in a lot of these shit hit the fans, you'll be more busy, but there will also be times where you will not have anything to do. So you'll have to do... Because, you know, boredom is the great mind killer. Like, the rule of threes, you know, the 3 minutes without air, you know, 3 days without water, the rule of threes, there is a, like, loneliness boredom factor in there. Like, there is a time that you need something, so.
That always makes me think of Les Stroud, and specifically his harmonica.
Yeah.
Because he always brought his harmonica with him just so he'd have something to do during the downtime. But I still love the episode where he was up toward the North Pole and polar bear country. He'd already made his shitty little igloo. And he was sitting there, and he pulled out his fucking harmonica, started playing it, and after, like, 3 seconds, he stopped. He's like, you know, I remember them telling me that polar bears are attracted to strange noises, and I guess this would be a strange noise out here. So he put his harmonica up.
Yeah.
Sad, because it was scary, because the next morning he woke up, and there was literally...
Footprints all around.
Polar bear footprints, like, less than 10 feet from where he was sleeping that weren't there the night before. Which means that while he slept, polar bears came up and it's like, what's going on here? I thought I heard a harmonica.
Yeah. And unlike what the social justice wars would have you with global warming, killing the poor polar bears, them motherfuckers are vicious, murdering, killing psychopaths.
Polar bears are carnivores. Everything they eat ran from them.
Yeah. So yeah, not that I want to kill polar bears, but they will fuck you up.
Well, you know what? They say polar bears are going to go extinct, and I believe the polar bear as we know it is going to go away. But I believe that polar bears have started breeding with Kodiaks and grizzlies and making growler bears.
Yeah,
they can breed together, and I basically think that's the next step in evolution for the polar bear is the growler bear.
And I think global warming is bullshit, and I do not think they're going to be ran out of life.
Well, I don't think global warming is bullshit in as much as, yes, the Earth does warm, but the Earth does also cool. And honestly, I don't think that man has that much influence on that, one way or the other, for the good or the detriment.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... And I wouldn't even say we're going into a global warming period.
This is shit that we've been spoon-fed since the 80s.
We are. And I remember watching this show back in the late 80s, early 90s. It was on, like, Discovery or History Channel or something called... Or the Learning Channel. Because the Learning Channel used to not be the white trash channel. It used to actually teach you important things.
TLC.
TLC, yeah. But yeah, it was one of those channels, and it was called Beyond 2000. And they're like... Pretty much in the year 2020, the Earth will be so hot that it'll be uninhabitable, and the entire world will be covered by deserts. And I'm like, God damn, you idiots.
You know, it's 2017 now.
Yeah, it's not...
That's 3 years away from 2020.
Yeah.
I'm not that hot, and no. Your air conditioner's not even on.
You're right. It is actually not bad today.
I thought we were going to be sweating balls by now, but...
Usually we are, yeah.
It doesn't feel that bad outside.
Nope, it had been pretty decent recently.
Yeah, and, which is ironic for August and... The South.
And on that bombshell.
Are we already bombshelling?
It's past an hour.
Oh. Well, shit. We had more to say, but I guess on that terrible disappointment, it's time to end. So, the Survival Punk Podcast.
That was all we had to say, wasn't it?
It was.
Entertainment's the last one, yeah.
Yeah, entertainment, yeah. So for the Survival Punk Podcast, this is Couch Potato Mike.
This is James Sigwin Burnett.
And there's always room in your life for one more fucking prepping bag.
DIY... To get off your phone, use guys.
Oh shit, I got a text coming in.